in every Saturday night at midnight for The Diamond Sea, a weekly mixtape featuring the best in independent music from the 80s, 90s, and today. Here on 88.7 KRVS, public radio for Acadiana.
This is KRVS, 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles.
Good afternoon. It's 3 p.m. Weather for the KRVS listening area. Isolated showers and thunderstorms in the area. About a 20% chance. A high of around 89 degrees. Southeast winds at 15 miles per hour. A 10% chance of lingering showers throughout the evening. A low of 74. And on Wednesday, a mostly sunny day with a high of 90. Currently, it's partly cloudy and 87 here at UL Lafayette. Coming up at 4 o'clock, it's All Things Considered from NPR News. This hour begins with a visit to the interview studio with Judith Merriweather.
And with me in the KRVS studios this afternoon is Robert Wilson. He is the Healthcare Initiative Program Coordinator for the Louisiana Cultural Economy Foundation. And you all are having a free dental day tomorrow for music professionals, one of the many services that you offer in that program. We've had Kathy Richard on before talking about a number of services that attempt to help cultural workers, musicians in our community. We know how vital they are to tourism, to our cultural life, and so you all make an effort to offer services for them. But I think some people sometimes get a little confused when they hear certain organizations. We had Healthcare for Musicians, I believe, in the community, and
yes.
And then they've been hearing, you know, the Cultural Economy Foundation for a little while now. So let's talk about that foundation and maybe clarify for some of our listeners what the organization is, what the agency is, and what y'all's mission is.
Certainly. Well, thanks for having me on, Judith. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about the Cultural Economy Foundation with you today and with the listeners of KRVS. The Louisiana Cultural Economy Foundation spun out of an effort through the Lieutenant Governor's office under Lieutenant Governor Mitch Landrieu in 2005 as a response to cultural needs that were being unaddressed through after the aftermath of Katrina. So following the recovery effort, we moved into a more of a sustainable role where we were able to begin addressing the needs of musicians from a more global perspective, both in terms of quality of life through healthcare services and also through economic means using our Economic Opportunity Fund grant system. So the overall mission of the Louisiana Cultural Economy Foundation is really to serve as a catalyst for development and enhancement of our distinct cultural resources by promoting the economic health and quality of life of our workforce. We all know that the cultural economy is very strong, particularly in the Acadiana region, which is part of the rationale behind putting the healthcare initiative pilot here in Acadiana. One of the things that we want to make sure that we do is not just acknowledge that we have such rich resources culturally, but how can we sustain those resources? How can we keep our musicians healthy? How can we keep our artists creating? How can we, you know, keep our chefs cooking all the wonderful food that we know is so fantastic? But beyond simply the cultural aspect, we really want to delve into and shine a light on the fact that culture means business in Louisiana. The hospitality industry is the second largest employer, and that's a big segment of who we are as a state, and it's everything that we are in the minds of people who want to visit here, who want to retire here, or who otherwise want to experience all the things that Louisiana and Acadiana have to offer.
So we rely on these people for our image and our quality of life, both for those of us who live here and those we want to attract to the state. But it sounds like so many of these people that you're mentioning, cultural workers, don't work for organizations that have formal plans, health plans, benefits plans. Either they're working for themselves, they have a band, they're working in a studio, so they don't have the same means that some of us might to acquire those benefits.
Exactly. Most of the clients that we deal with are basically self-employed. Some of them are able to maintain secondary employment, but their primary passion is music and art and creating that sort of thing. So they don't make as much money as people think, and that's a big thing that we try to reference, because I think that the assumption is that all musicians are Bon Jovi and rake in the royalties and that of that. But really, we're talking about your hometown people, folks that you've heard of who don't have access to group insurance coverage. And so they struggle with maintaining health, with becoming healthy, and then perpetuating that into the future. So, and musicians specifically face very specific health issues. It's not simply, you know, when you get a cold or when you or I have the flu. These are individuals who are on just unbelievable schedules. They suffer from fatigue. They have to perform often in very smoke-filled environments. And so they also deal with auditory issues and vocal issues as well. Mm-hmm. So it's a unique niche in terms of healthcare services and needs that we want to acknowledge and provide services to address their particular needs.
Well, we're going to be speaking specifically about the dental day that you all are offering tomorrow, but maybe give a sense of some of the other services that you offer in the state.
Certainly, I'd be glad to. Well, the healthcare initiative, as I mentioned, is one of two components of the Louisiana Cultural Economy Foundation. The healthcare initiative provides assistance in locating doctors, dentists, and even behavioral health professionals to serve our cultural workers. We also offer assistance accessing affordable prescriptions. So we partner with area agencies to offer that. We serve in somewhat of a case management role mm-hmm. to eliminate the barriers that many of our cultural workers find when trying to access the care that is out there. And we work to coordinate their particular issues and reach out to the healthcare professionals to ensure that they get the best possible care in the best possible time frame. Now, I'd also like to mention that we offer a grant program, and that's the other component of the Cultural Economy Foundation, and that's the Economic Opportunity Fund. This program encourages entrepreneurial risk. We want people to have great ideas, and we want to give them the startup capital to really grow their art, to expand their business, and this is an excellent way to do that. In fact, if you'll visit, or if the listeners would visit www.culturaleconomy.org, they can learn more about the Economic Opportunity Fund and learn about the grant deadlines. I know that's open right now. And so get those grants in. There's a maximum grant award of $2,500, and that's geared specifically toward any idea that will help grow your business and help make you that much more successful.
Whether that business is a band or an art studio, whatever
exactly.
That might be.
That's
culturally.
Right. Yeah, a cultural worker for us, you know, it runs the gamut, everything between designers, painters, actors and musicians, sculptors, storytellers, all those pieces of the bigger puzzle that help to celebrate, promote, and interpret our unique culture here.
Okay, well, check that website out. That's culturaleconomy.org and find out more about the grants. As far as the healthcare initiative, you're having a program tomorrow. It's called Dental Day. It's a free dental day. You do need to sign up for it, though.
That's very important, yes.
So you can't just wander in wanting your teeth cleaned. So there's a little bit of a process, but it is taking place tomorrow, and it is specifically for music professionals, I think. Or are
yes.
you include it's music professionals?
For this particular program, what we're working on is offering services for our musicians. We're partnering very closely with the Grammy Awards, the Recording Academy of Arts and Sciences, and they have a program called Music Cares. Music Cares reaches out and offers medical assistance and other forms of financial assistance to musicians, and so we're working very closely with them, and we're also really proud to have developed a great partnership between the Cultural Economy Foundation and Lafayette Community Healthcare Clinic. So our dental day will take place in actual dental chairs. Mm-hmm. You know, we're able to offer so much more of a sophisticated environment this go around, and we offer everything from general examinations, cleanings, and x-rays, and in some cases extractions, depending on the need of the individual mm-hmm. patient. But what's most important to remember, though, is that this is one of many dental days that we've had. In fact, we've served a total of about 135 musicians over the course of four dental days. And so we want to generate interest. We want to make sure that those musicians who are out there listening to us spread the word. The best way to get in touch with us is either by visiting the website at culturaleconomy.org, or you can email me directly. My email address is robert@culturaleconomy.org.
Okay, and you know, just thinking about musicians, and you're talking about special needs for different kinds of cultural workers. Musicians are performers, and their dental health is very, very important, I guess, to the
it
way
is
they
indeed.
Perceive themselves and how well they can perform.
That's so true. I mean, a smile goes a long way in day-to-day life. It goes even further when it comes to your economic livelihood. Mm-hmm. And it's not just a cosmetic issue. We're talking about
an embouchure for a trumpet player.
Exactly.
Or,
that's right. And so we want to do whatever we can do to make sure that all our musicians are able to continue making the wonderful sounds that we all enjoy so well.
Right, and performing as well as they can. So this is a free dental day in Lafayette tomorrow. I'm sure you have many people signed up, but I know that you're hoping to have more, so you're encouraging as many people to sign up as possible.
That's right, yeah. We have a limited number of slots available when we start the program, and so we're about at capacity for this particular go-around. But one of the things that we're really excited about is that the more interest it's generated, the more likely that we are to repeat this event, whether here in Lafayette or if we move over across the basin into Baton Rouge or head over to Lake Charles, because what we want to serve as many people as we possibly can, because there's no limit on the number of wonderful musicians that are out there who need these services. So do register, do contact us, and get on the list, because if we can demonstrate that need, we know it's out there. We just need to hear from the musicians, and we can advocate on their behalf.
And hopefully you can have another dental day very soon.
Exactly.
But there are some slots available, so let's talk a bit about, because there may be people listening right now who are either musicians themselves or no musicians who may have a need. So first, you do have to register.
You do.
Either by calling, going to the website, or emailing you.
Right. The best way is to email. Okay. Again, my email address is robert@culturaleconomy.org.
All right. And then you need to have some kind of proof that you're a musician, a working musician. And what are some of the things that people can use to validate that?
Well, what we've used for those individuals that we've already pre-screened, there's a Music Cares application form that we complete in partnership with the musicians. There's also a SMILE form. One of the agencies that we're partnering with is the SMILE program for Louisiana. They offer roving dentists who go around it, and they'll be the ones that are doing the dirty work for us tomorrow, so to speak. And so they have their own screening form. It's really quite simple. If you have a discography, if you have, if you can illustrate that you've been employed in the music industry for a period of time, then we can get you in. It's not as exclusive as one might think.
Okay, and if anyone has questions about what they can use to show that they have been working musicians, again, they can email you with those
Absolutely.
Questions.
And that's right, yes,
yeah,
of course.
There's no one proof fits everybody.
Right. This isn't a program where, for example, we're going to require a tax return or a bank statement. This isn't that kind of program.
Right.
This is, we work very closely with Music Cares through the Grammys to reach out to as many musicians as we can get to. So if we can get you in the net, then we can get you some service for your dental needs.
Okay, and what have the response has been like from people that you've known who've been through these dental days?
The response has been overwhelmingly positive. Mm-hmm. Dental services are one of the more difficult services to get when it comes to health care. We all think about general health care needs, you know, internal medicine and that sort of thing. If your need is great enough, then you can pretty well get that. Dental is a whole other animal, actually. It's much more difficult to get quality service in a timely fashion at a price
that... dental emergency rooms, for example.
Exactly. That's such an excellent point. There isn't a place that you can go if you have a gig that evening and you chip a tooth. Mm-hmm. That's not something that most of our individuals are able to do. So the dental day is focused not only on addressing existing issues, but also providing those necessary treatments that will help prevent future issues.
Mm-hmm. If you have just tuned in, my guest is Robert Wilson. He is the Healthcare Initiative Program Coordinator for the Louisiana Cultural Economy Foundation, one of their programs in collaboration with many other organizations who care about musicians, is a free dental day. The next one will be taking place tomorrow in Lafayette. If you're a musician or know musicians who have need of this service, please contact Robert, and that email again is?
You can visit us online at www. www.culturaleconomy.org, or you can email me directly at robert@culturaleconomy.org.
And is your email at that website as well?
It is. You might have to dig a little bit for it, but I'm in there.
Well, we'll have it here as well. So email with any questions about what you need to bring or show to show that you're a musician, but you do need to sign up for it, and it's from 8 until 5 tomorrow.
That's right.
So a nice window of opportunity, and you're just hoping that as many people sign up as possible, and that way you'll be able to have more dental days
exactly
sooner.
Right.
And check that website out, or get a friend to check it out for you to find out more about the services and the grants that you mentioned.
That's right.
For cultural workers, that could be a big help to many musicians as well. Well, thank you so much for coming by to let us know more about the program, and in particular this service tomorrow, the free dental day that will be in Lafayette, and we look forward to more services being offered in our community.
Thank you for having me on.
And joining me in the KRVS studios this afternoon is Jody Powell, who over the past year has been involved in so many theatrical activities and is in the process right now of directing The Glass Mendacity, which is running right now at
Cité des Arts.
It opened last weekend and continues this coming weekend. And in the midst of that, you are also involved with Acadiana Repertory Theatre, and they will have their 2012 New Works Festival that will start this coming Friday, June 22nd. And this is an interesting concept. I'm not sure it's ever been done in this fullness here in our community. I think some people are familiar with Reader's Theater, where it's not the entire choreographed play, but people are reading the script with dramatic readings. So that's kind of the way these plays will be presented. But let's talk first of all about Acadiana Repertory Theater. For those who have not yet seen a performance through Acadiana Rep, what are you all about?
Acadiana Repertory Theater started a couple of years or so ago, but we just had our first production in the past year. The first one was Doubt. That was held on the UL campus and very well attended, and then that was followed by God of Carnage, held this year, also very well attended. So art started a little slow, but it's finally up and running now and really taking off with the New Works Festival.
So it seems like you all are tackling plays that people know about. They've been produced within the past few years on Broadway. They've gotten a lot of press. They've won a lot of awards. They seem to be a little edgy.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And so you're really giving us all something to experience and think about with the plays that you've been doing so far. And this offers us even a more interesting theatrical experience with 10 plays. Now, how did this come about? What was the thinking behind this festival?
Well, Stephen Landry, the managing artistic director of ART, as we call Acadiana Repertory Theater, had the concept to open up theater to the people. He wants to be sure that Lafayette community and beyond knows that theater is for them, and he wants to open a dialogue between the artist and the audience. And these 10 plays presented over two weekends gives a real good opportunity for that.
And you kind of invited playwrights from across the country to submit plays?
Yes, he had many submissions and had a tough time narrowing it down to 10, but there are 10 solid works here.
And these
all
are
new never
plays.
Been produced before.
All right, so 10 of them, and you're going to present them using 22 members of ART, of the Acadiana Rep Theater, I believe, doing different plays.
Acadiana Repertory Theater is a company with resident artists on board, not just actors but technicians as well. And Stephen had to go outside of the company a little bit to cast all of the roles, but you will find a very diverse plate of actors here.
Right, so let's go through the festival. It's going to open on Friday, and you're going to have a very set schedule throughout the festival. People can find more. I know not everyone's going to be writing down every single play as we talk, but you all are on the web, on Facebook, and people can find a complete listing of those plays.
Absolutely.
There. All right.
And on the Art New Works Festival Facebook page, there's a bio of each playwright also, so you can see the artist behind the work.
Okay, and this very exciting too, because you know anyone who loves theater reads about it in magazines or online, and you see the names of plays being produced elsewhere and playwrights who are writing all across the country, and you don't get to hear their plays or see their plays always, and so this really gives us a chance to experience those playwrights in our own community. The first play will be this Friday, June 22nd at 6:30. What play is that?
That is The Divine Visitor, which is a really funny play. I actually happen to be in that one. And it's set in 17th century England, but it has a very modern twist and influence to it.
Right, so you're actually, as you're directing, you're acting as well. These plays.
This is the easiest I've ever done. I can sit and read pretty easily.
Yeah. So you enjoyed this play?
I did. That's my favorite of the three that I'm in. That's my favorite.
Okay, and I guess we need to say, too, that when you talk about this dialogue, people are going to get to vote
exactly
on which play they like the best.
Exactly. Whether they come to one or all of the shows, they get a scorecard for each show that they see, and they can vote on it and rate it and determine which show of the 10 will be a full production by ART next season and possibly even beyond.
And when you say it's set in the 17th century, what kind of characters are involved?
It takes place in a bar, hotel. I don't guess it's really called a hotel, more so an inn. That's the setting for it. And so you've got the innkeeper, and you have some townspeople, and you have a constable, and you have the requisite religious person there as well.
Okay, and the divine visitor.
Well, that's a twist.
That's the twist. So that's the very first play of the 2012 New Works Festival. You're going to have two on Friday.
Right.
For both weekends.
Mm-hmm. 6:30 and 8:30.
Two Saturday and then one Sunday.
That's right.
All right, so what follows the divine visitor?
Sweet, Sweet Spirit is up next Friday evening, and then the names of the ones on Saturday are In the Open and The Terrible Girls, and I don't know much about either one of those, really.
You're not in those.
I'm not in those. Mm-hmm. Okay. But Barrier Island is on Sunday, and that is a show written by a guy who's in New York, David Stallings, and he is from Galveston, and the play is written and set, it's written about and set in Galveston on the eve of an approaching hurricane. So that's got a local feel to it, even though it's Galveston. We certainly understand hurricanes and the gathering together before one, and the relations that go on between people as a result of that.
And are you in that one?
No, no. But I have read it, and I have seen a reading of it.
So it's like a cast of characters who might be on the island as a hurricane approaches.
They all congregate in a bar.
Seems to be the setting of choice here.
Just coincidentally.
So that concludes the first weekend mm-hmm. of the festival. There'll be five plays. And again, that's The Divine Visitor by David Williams, Sweet, Sweet Spirit by Carol Carpenter, In the Open by Matthew Ivan Bennett, The Terrible Girls by Jacqueline Goldfinger, and Barrier Island by David Stallings. So you can attend one of the readings for a certain price, and then you have passes people would like to see more of them.
There are packages available for one or a few or the whole weekend. Or both weekends entirely.
Okay.
And that's on the Facebook page as well.
All right, so you can find out more information. So that's happening this coming weekend. The following weekend, starting Friday, June 29th, what do we have there?
It opens on Friday evening with 100 Planes, which is a military setting. This is not in a bar. This is on a military Air Force base in Germany. And that is followed by Principal, by Joe Zarro. And then on Saturday there is a place to... Oh, no, I got that wrong. Excuse me. 100 Planes in the Human Capacity is Friday night. And Saturday is Principal, spelled both ways, followed by A Place to Land. And then on Sunday afternoon, the festival closes with A Home Across the Ocean, written by Lafayette's own Cody Daigle.
And are you in that one?
I am not. Oh, I am in that one. I'm sorry.
There's so many
I'm
of
sorry.
Them.
I'm sorry. I'm excited to be in that one. I'm sorry, I forgot. Well, I was getting it mixed up with Barrier Island.
Yeah, tell us about that one, Home Across the Ocean.
Oh, that's a nice story. And I've actually seen that done as a reading, too. Cody's company that he's associated with in New York, MT Works, had it as part of their New Works Festival. That is a very interesting story about a gay couple who wants to adopt a child, and one of the individuals in the couple struggles with that decision because the child actually arriving in their home immediately follows his father's death, and he hasn't grieved that yet, and so that makes it difficult for him to accept this child. Complicating that is his mother, who, even though her husband has just died, has suddenly taken up with a former acquaintance who may or may not have been a lover, and who may or may not now be her lover, and that also throws the main character for a loop.
Adds complications. Well, it sounds like there are many varying complications across these 10 plays. If you have just tuned in, my guest is Jody Powell, who is with the Acadiana Repertory Theater, here talking about the 2012 New Works Festival, which will open this coming Friday, June 22nd. 10 plays that will be read. Now, a lot of our listeners may not be completely familiar with Reader's Theater and this way of presenting theater. Tell us a bit about it and what you like about it.
Well, like Stephen says, theater is for the people, and it's not just for theater people. Anybody interested in a good story can come to these plays, sit and listen. And even though there's no movement, there's no costumes, there's no set, the stories are compelling enough that you can still follow along. Mm-hmm. Plus, we kind of read the stage directions here and there, just in case there's something that needs to be explained, or a visual that would help explain the audience to be able to follow along. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so it's not just for theater people. It's for anybody interested in a good story.
Well, it is. It sounds more like storytelling, and in a way,